Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. This morning finished cooking 63.5 pounds of pork, so I can eat about 15 of that myself, but the rest will need help eating tonight. So make sure you plan to come out tonight. The food is smelling anyways, very good. So I look forward to seeing you all there. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Getting stronger. Our desire in 2019, I trust, will be to be strong in the Lord. Ever since we put this graphic, this image, out on social media this week, kind of promoting our new sermon series, hundreds and hundreds have been calling in to the church asking, is that a picture of Pastor Nate? And I'm sad to tell you that it isn't. It probably looks a lot like him, but it isn't Pastor Nate. This is just a graphic, not really a real picture of Pastor Nate like so many of you thought. And so many have been commenting on our social media sites that it would look exactly like. I'm a little disappointed that not one person thought it might be me preaching this sermon series and consequently a picture of me. I'm just a little disappointed about that. But our intention is to challenge us, not so much to the physical strength of a Superman kind of physique, but our spiritual lives to be stronger and stronger. Our church is centered around and wants to have that goal. Pastor Rob has been helping us toward that goal all of these 19 years that he has served together with us, Pastor Rob and Amy and their family, as they have developed here over the years, all these 19 years together. Let's thank and congratulate the Fowlers for their 19 years of faithful service here at Calvary Baptist Church. Well, on a new year, you can have a new you, right? There's something to this idea of a new beginning, to the beginning of the year, a new you. And I want you to tell somebody seated beside you, have you ever, answer this question, do you know somebody who actually kept the New Year's resolution that they made for last year, for 2018? Do you actually, I want you to tell your neighbor, do you actually know somebody who kept the New Year's resolution? Whatever it might have been, do you actually know somebody? Tell somebody sitting beside you. Do you know anybody? Interestingly, the concept of turning over a new leaf that we sometimes think about at the beginning of a new year has come from about the 1500s, and it referred to a new leaf, turning over the leaf of a new page in a book. The book of your life, having a new leaf, a new page to be written in a new year. What kind of Did most of you say, "Oh yeah, I know lots of people who kept their New Year's." Did most of you say that? Is that what people were telling you? Or what were they basically telling you? No, we didn't. Okay. What are common New Year's resolutions that fail? Common New Year's resolutions that fail. Lose weight. Yeah, I wish you hadn't said that right here in front of church and God and everybody. I mean, wish you just hadn't said that. Lose weight. What else? Exercise. Gonna start a new routine of something. Eat better. Or save money. All the things that we say we're going to intend to do and we often don't do. I am going to ask you today to ponder and commit and have the aspiration for some sense of a new beginning, but not merely the kinds of things that we typically have for resolutions. Jonathan Edwards is so famous for his resolutions, his 70 resolution book. He wrote a book, you know, I Resolve, and 70 very famous things like never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. So often we set resolutions for the year and we say, oh, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to save money, I'm going to these kinds of practical everyday things. And yet I wonder, do we ever think of my resolutions like Jonathan Edwards did, those kinds, or another one here, another resolution he wrote, whenever I do any conspicuously evil action, I will trace it back till I come to the original cause, and then I will carefully endeavor both, number one, to do so no more, and number two, to fight and pray with all my might against the source of the original impulse. Are those the kind of new leaves you want to turn over? New resolutions you want to start at the beginning of a new year? Is that the way we think? I trust that as a result of this week and next week and the next week and the next week and the beginning of this new year, we will think more along those lines. To be strong in the Lord spiritually. This new year can really produce a new you. This is something like coming to church is something like strength training for Christians. In the sense of physical training, we all can relate to the fact that it takes some strength training to develop strength physically. We all get that. We know how that works. There's a science to it. There's a cause and effect. We see it very tangibly. And yet I want us to begin to see that there's a link in this intentionality about growing stronger as Christians. And ultimately, then, as a church. What is the mission of the church? We know what it is, right? Matthew chapter 28 tells us that we are to go, therefore, and what? Make disciples. So here it is. Here's what we're supposed to be doing today. We're gathered in first Sunday of the year. Here's what we're supposed to be doing. Making disciples. And so what that consequently means is to be making many disciples. And we would call that maybe evangelism. But it doesn't stop there. Sometimes we get hung up on just that. And then sometimes churches get hung up on not just making many disciples, but making mature disciples. And that aspect of what we sometimes call discipleship, sometimes we can get focused on just one and not the other. But it really is a both and commission that God has given His church, us. His followers, His believers. Many disciples, evangelism. Mature disciples, discipleship. Both and. Go, make disciples. Starting Christians and strong Christians. It moves from evangelism to discipleship, from beginning Christians, from starting Christians to strong Christians. That's what we are doing as a mission of the church, starting Christians and strong Christians. That's the next button to push. There we go. Starting Christians and strong Christians. It's the thing that we want people to get saved, and we want people to grow in grace and knowledge of God's word. It's all of that. Most of us underestimate what we can do in the long term, but we overestimate what we can do in the short term. Do you see what I'm saying? Most of us underestimate what we can do in the long term, and we overestimate what we can do in the short term. We think, oh, well, we'll grow strong in our faith quickly. We'll overestimate what we can do in the short term. But this task I'm talking to you about can't be done just quickly. And then we underestimate what we can do in the long term because we say, oh, I could never stay at it that long. I could never get that done. I'm just not a candidate for being a strong Christian. I'm just always going to be a weak Christian. I want us to quit thinking like that today. Spiritual maturity takes time. It takes time. You don't grow strong quickly. Now, you get saved instantly. That's an instantaneous thing. You pass from death into life. You go from darkness to light. You get saved in a moment. Oh, there may be conviction of sin. There may be a working up to that in a lot of kind of ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. But the instantaneous gift of salvation comes instantly. But you don't grow strong quickly. This is a long-term issue and must command our attention lifelong. Write that down. Get that in your hearts and minds. This is not an in-and-out thing. This is not instantaneous. This is not microwave Christianity. This is long-term, lifelong, slow cooker process. And thinking that way helps us achieve the right goal. So you have your Bible open with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I appreciate Pastor Nate's message last Sunday. I've listened to it myself. Faith and I were on vacation. We were away out of town last week. And I know Pastor Nate has been going through an expository preaching series in the book of Ephesians on the Sundays that I've been gone and when he's had the opportunity to preach. And he has come right up to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I think he has this idea that maybe I'm going to hijack his series here and take over at chapter 6, verse 10. And that's really not my intention, but I'm going to do that today. That's really not what I had in mind, but it is kind of the focus for these next few weeks of this idea of growing strong in our faith in the Lord. Because here's what it says. Therefore, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want our church to be a strong church. I want you individually as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, to be a strong Christian, not a weak Christian. I want you to be a mature Christian. And that's the admonition here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what verse 10 tells us. And how does that happen? Just following right along, what does it say? So therefore, put on the whole armor of God. What's it going to take to be strong? The armor of God. And not just part of it, but all of it. And where does the armor of God start? If you start from the top of your head down to the bottom of your feet, where does it start? It starts with the helmet of salvation. Now, it's presented here in a variety of ways and a variety of pieces of defensive armor and all of that, but it begins top to bottom, top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and there's a sense of the covering of the armor of God to help make us strong in the spiritual battle that the Christian life is. It starts at the top. The helmet of salvation. What are we talking about when we talk about salvation? The helmet of salvation is simply this, that salvation is a gift. It is free to the receiver. It is costly, however, to the giver. In other words, it's a free gift, but nothing's free in life. Free gift. The gift is free, but it cost Jesus Christ His life. His perfect sinless life, His sacrificial death, and His resurrection from the grave. Free to all of us. Free to us as sinners. It's a free gift, this helmet of salvation. It's free to the receiver. It's costly to the giver. It is a grace. It is not earned or deserved. This helmet of salvation is not something you go out and earn. And if, when you earn it, oh, finally you'll be given this helmet of salvation after you've earned it and achieved that level. No, it is simply a gift. It is not earned. It is not deserved. It is given out of Christ's love and mercy for us. And it is a guarantee. It will truly come. It is guaranteed on the basis and the authority of God's holy word. It's a guarantee. This gift is offered to all who will repent of their sin and believe on Jesus Christ alone for salvation. It comes with a total guarantee of eternal life. It's not just a wishful leap of faith. Who knows if it'll work or not? Who knows? I'm just trying the next best thing. Here's just something that's commonly tried. I'm just going to take a leap of faith, a faith in faith. No, it's not just the power of positive thinking. I'll positive think myself right into heaven. No, it's a guarantee based on the authority of God's holy word. You can count on it. This helmet of salvation is a gift. It's a grace. It's a guarantee. It's wonderful. And this armor of God starts with the helmet of salvation. This new year, there can be a new you. Getting stronger starts by getting what? Saved. Saved. Start the new year off right by receiving the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ and let Him transform your life today. This past week, I was doing some painting. Bob and Carissa are live up in Michigan, and they were moving to a new house, and so we were helping them paint the new house before they moved in yesterday, and I was painting, and alongside me was a middle-aged lady, a person that goes to the church that Bob and Carissa were a part of, and Bob and Carissa led this lady and her husband and their son to the Lord, and they were there helping us do some painting, getting this new house ready. And I was painting along and asking a couple of questions. And this lady was sharing her story, sharing her testimony about coming to faith as a middle-aged person. She said, you know, I grew up religious. I grew up, I went to church. In this particular case, in her particular life, she was Catholic. And, you know, she said, I considered myself religious. I considered myself a person who believed in Jesus as a person. She said, but I was never born again until, you know, just a few months ago. I believed there was a God. I believed there was Jesus, that He was a historical person. I went to church Christmas and Easter. I was, you know, religious. I believe about Jesus. She said, but today, she says, I'm related to Him. I have a gift from Him. He has adopted me into His family. And I'm sitting there rolling up and down this wall saying, amen, sister, you preach that thing. That's exactly right. So many people know about Jesus. They might even call themselves theist. I believe there is a God. I believe they may call it a variety of things, a higher power. I believe that Jesus really did walk the earth. He was a moral teacher. He made a significant impact. After all, we mark our time by His life. And, sure, I'm a believer in that sense. But they've never been born again. They've never received the gift of eternal life. I'm telling you, that's what will change your life. That's what will give you eternity in heaven. Getting stronger starts by getting saved, that helmet of salvation. Remember, I'm not preaching this Ephesians chapter 6 passage. I'm just highlighting a few things. Pastor Nate will really deal with it. But the next thing in this armor is the helmet of salvation. The next thing that I want to highlight, and I'm not going to highlight at all, it's this. It is that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So moving from the helmet of salvation, we come to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are you going to be strong in 2019? It will be because of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's where I want you to turn with me to Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Would you do that, please? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Now, I know when I'm not here, Pastor Rob has been preaching a series through the book of Psalms and Psalm 119. Yeah. I know that I'm really not trying to hijack their sermons because they do a very good job of doing them. It's just that I'm compelled to talk here about Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. And here's what it says. How can a young man keep his way pure? So here's the question. How can a Christian keep himself pure in 2019? So set that thing up. Here we have an evil world. Did you happen to know you lived in an evil world? Now, those people living up in Michigan, we know they live in an evil world. We're very acquainted with that. But even those of us who live in Ohio, we live in an evil world. The question is, how can a person keep himself pure in 2019? How can that happen? And here's the question. It wasn't a question just people were asking today, just because our politicians are who they are, just because priests are being arrested for what they do, just because pastors and Baptist churches are being arrested for what they do. It's not just because of this. It was a burning question back then. How can we keep ourselves pure in 2019? That's the question. What's the answer to that question? Well, we have it in the Bible. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look at what it says. By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So here's what it comes down to. Guarding your life with the truth of God's word. Guard, it says here. Guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I will seek you. Here's how you can live a clean life, a strong life for the Lord, if you'll guard your life according to the principles of God's word, if you'll wholeheartedly seek the truth of God's word, if you'll store up the truth of God's word in your mind, if you'll develop a teachable spirit. Blessed you are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Do you have a teachable spirit today? That's part of the key of living a clean life. With my lips, I will declare all the rules of my... So when you translate it from just receiving it to telling others about it, when you're a declarer of that truth, now you've owned it and you're sharing it. That's a key for you to be strong in your Christian life. And then delighting in the truth. What's it say? In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. In other words, there's nothing in this world more important to me, nothing more treasured in my heart and life than the truth of your word, Lord. There's a strong, clean Christian. Delighting in God's word. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Meditating, letting it wash over us, cleanse us, set our agenda and our pace. That's how you're going to live a strong Christian life. This new year, making a new you, getting stronger, continues by getting serious. It starts by getting saved. It continues by getting serious. And here's what I mean by that. How can you incorporate the truth of God's word in your life more consistently and effectively this year? How can you carry out Psalm 119? By keeping your way according to the principles of God's word. How can that happen? Well, I want to make a suggestion or two. Getting stronger continues by getting serious on a personal level. What can you personally do to take Psalm 119 verses 9 to 17? How can you put that into your life? Number one, you're going to have to read the Bible. Okay, there's just no way around this. You're going to have to read the Bible. Here's what it says. I'm reading this news article from 2019. Lifeway Research found that while almost 9 out of 10 households owns a Bible, only 20% of Americans have read through the entire Bible at least once. Only 20% of Americans have read through the Bible at least once. How many of you have read through your entire Bible? Raise your hand. You've read through your entire Bible. Put your hands back down because I don't want to embarrass anybody along. I do want to point out the fact that if you're going to grow strong as a Christian, you've got to read your Bible, all of it, Genesis to Revelation. That's why I've preached the book of Genesis, and that's why I've preached the book of Revelation, and a whole lot of them in between. Because every single book of the Bible is important. You mean even Genesis? Yes. You mean even Revelation? Yes. You mean even, pick one, Leviticus? Yes. You mean even, yes. Yes. Let's read it all. Now, many of you have maybe read the Bible through every year for the last 20 years. Okay, if you've done that, wonderful. That sets a foundation. That sets a basis. Okay, you can take this next year and do something different. Read just the Gospels. Those four Gospels, read them all 36 times. Okay, if you've already read the Bible enough, the whole Bible enough, then do something unique. Read the book of Romans once a week for the next year. Or, yeah, you can do that. And take and do something different 1 year. But if you've never read the whole Bible, guess what you need to do? Read the whole Bible. Take time to memorize it. Take time to meditate on it. Don't just read it to check it off of a list. Check it to absorb it, to learn it. Say, okay, how am I going to do it? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Here's one way. You pick up your Bible and you just start in Genesis and read it. But I know that doesn't work for anybody anymore, you know, actually picking up a Bible and reading it. I know that doesn't work. So YouVersion.com is an online way to pick a plan that incorporates a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of Psalms, a little bit of Proverbs, a little bit of the New Testament, and kind of you can find a dozen, two dozen, 29 dozen different plans on YouVersion.com. It's free. Go there. It'll be a help. They'll even read it to you. Faith and I, for the last several years, have had them read the Bible through, the whole Bible, to us. Saves your voice a little bit. Okay. But do something to know what God has said to us. And know it. And spend the time and do it on a personal level. You're not going to be strong until you know God's word. It just is a necessity. So on a personal level, do it. Get at it. On a family level, make the Bible the center feature of your life as a family. Don't let this be merely, oh, this is my private thing. This is just the me thing. No, particularly dads here. This is your job. This is you take the initiative. Mom and dad, take the initiative. Make the Bible the center feature of your life. Talk about what you're learning and experiencing. Let this be who you are. You are Bible people. So you have a time when you feature it together as a family. You read the Bible or you listen to the Bible out loud together. Pray together, all of that. Do it. Establish a pattern. If you say, oh, I'll do it sometime, somewhere, we'll do it twice a year, three, no, you won't. You won't do it at all. Get a pattern and get going. Get it done. On a family level. When our kids were young, it was, you know, right before we went to bed. And when they got a little older, it was right after dinner time. Or, you know, it might change in different seasons of your life. Adapt as you need to adapt. If you don't get it done every day, do it most days. You know, just get it done. Make it the center of your home on a family level. And then on a larger level, pursue the truth of God's word in church. Here you are. Perfect attendance, 2019. You are not neglecting meeting together. You are right here, first service, first church service of the new year. You're doing the right thing according to God's holy word. Good job. Way to get going. This isn't all we offer. You happen to be attending a full-service church. We're not an economy church. We're not a stripped-down church doing nothing but one. No, sir, we offer a full line of services. And why? Because we want you to be a strong church. We want you to be a strong believer. We want your family to be strong. So there's Calvary Together. That's tonight. We're going to obey the Lord. We're going to remember Him in the bread and the cup. We call it Calvary Together. We want to do this together. We have the first worship service and the second worship service and all those kind of things. We do a variety of things in a variety of ways. We want to come together at this ordinance of the church. Now, I know some say, well, wait a minute. Sunday nights, that's just never my thing. We just never do this. Please give us 6 nights a year. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? 6 nights a year. Will you give us 6 nights a year? Okay, so you don't do everything else? I'm going to ask you to do everything else. But even if you don't do everything else, please do 6 nights. This is starting point. This is basic. This has got to be kind of stuff. 6 nights a year. Well, is that the only time we're going to observe communion? No, we're still going to do it 4 other times during the morning services like we've always done. But 6 nights a year, would you come together for the fellowship around the bread and the cup? It's a spiritually strengthening experience because God tells us to do it. We don't read the Bible just for information. We read the Bible for what? Transformation. That's the right word. Write that down. We don't read the Bible just for information. We read the Bible for transformation. And reading the Bible leads us to the transformation of obeying His commands. And here it is. Remember me in the bread and the cup. 6 times a year, would you please do it? Start tonight. Don't miss any of the 6 nights all year long. You'll be a stronger Christian. And not just because the roast is smelling good out there. That's a nice byproduct. But come, 6 times a year. That's Calvary Together. But then there's also growth groups. Do you see your bulletin? Your bulletin is a good biblical tool. Look at your bulletin. Would you? Here's the details about what Calvary Together means and what our growth groups mean. Here's what we're doing Sunday nights. Now, okay, I don't go that far. Well, you just tricked me. You said I only have to come 6 nights a week. Okay, just come 6. But for those of you who really want to be strong, we offer you opportunities, okay? Growth groups, Sunday nights. Here's 3 Bible studies you can participate in Sunday nights. 3 of them. I can't read them. I wish I could read that. Yeah. Core Christianity, that's what I'm teaching. I can't read what everybody else is teaching. Anyway, they're great. You'll love it. Come on out. We call it growth groups. Why? Because we want to grow strong. We want to mature in Christ, right? That's an opportunity to do that. What are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, sometimes on Sunday nights. You'll love it. It'll be a help to you. Then there are grace groups on Sunday night. What's that? Prayer and fellowship. Why? Coming before God's throne of grace that you may obtain grace to help in time of need. What's that? Prayer. Grace groups. Occasionally in homes, we offer opportunity for you to grow strong by joining in people's homes and what? Praying together as the church is commanded to do. Christianity is not an individual sport. It's a team sport. We grow strong together. And part of that is the discipline of praying together. Grace groups. Now, we also do it on Wednesday night. In fact, right now on Wednesday nights, what we're doing is praying together, and then we have a Bible study together, and we're studying through this book by David Paul Tripp called Redeeming Money. That's taking biblical principles and applying them to our hearts and minds about our finances. You can be a part of that on Wednesday nights. That's what we've been doing since school started, Redeeming Money. All of these opportunities as grace groups, pray and study together. Now, growing stronger continues by getting serious on a large letter outside of not only church, but even beyond church in other ways. How can we do that? Well, choosing the right music to be a ministry to you on a larger level by way of the music that you listen to, online Bible courses, even going to Christian college. Many internet sites offer great resources in a whole lot of ways for you to advance your strength in and your knowledge of God's Word and your appropriation of it. It involves a lot of things in your daily routine and there's just a lot available to us these days, not only on the internet, but in a variety of ways, Christian radio and all of that. Television. You have to be discerning. There's a whole lot of songs that are spiritual fluff that are practically no good. They call themselves Christian songs. There's a whole lot of preachers on TV that are practically no good. You have to be discerning about a whole lot of things. But there are resources there that you can take part of that will be a help to you. So the question is this: are you ready for a new year? Are you ready for a new you? That's what we're asking. 2019 could be a year of real spiritual growth and maturity. You could get stronger this year in your faith in following Christ. But here's what I'm going to tell you. It won't happen accidentally. It's not going to happen unintentionally. This isn't going to happen by osmosis. You must make it a priority. Here's the truth. We don't drift in good directions. You just don't. We discipline and prioritize ourselves into good directions. It will take that. It will not just happen upon you. And the more you position yourself for success, the more you'll experience that success. You've got to position yourself for it. You've got to say, well, we're going to start over. We're going to try again. I know I failed. I know I haven't been able to keep at it. In my long-term intention, I've underestimated whether I can do this or not. You can. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do this. Don't underestimate what you can achieve in the long term. Don't underestimate that. You really can become a mature, strong Christian over time. You really can. And remember, it's called here the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is a sword. I just want to finish with this idea, this concept. The Holy Spirit uses the truth of God's Word, the Bible, to cut us, convicting us of the things that are wrong, that are weak. What's a sword do? It cuts. And that cutting hurts. And it pokes. There's a point on that sword. And that pokes. It pokes us out of our sinful complacency. Oh, I'm okay. I'll be okay. Listen, when the challenge comes, if you're spiritually weak, you don't want to be spiritually weak when that diagnosis isn't good. You don't want to be spiritually weak when that job is lost. You don't want to be spiritually weak when that teen rebels. You don't want to be weak. You want to be strong. And this poke of the Word of God pokes us out of our complacency that I'm okay weak. I like being lukewarm. Leave me alone. Let the poke of the Word of God prod you out of that and point you in the right direction. It may hurt a bit at first, but the end result will be a stronger follower of Christ. And that's what we're after in 2019, isn't it? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. I want to give you a moment to think that through. There's a card there in front of you in the pew. I want you to maybe even use that to write out, are you on board or not? Leave me alone. Okay, I get it. Leave me alone. I'm coming. I'll go through the motions. Leave me alone. All right. I get it. But would some of you say, okay, this is the year? Everybody's got wherever we are, and we can be better. We can be stronger. We can be more mature. Just because you live through the year doesn't mean you're going to be more mature. It does chronologically, but not spiritually. Just because you make it through the year, where will you be in 2020 spiritually? You must purpose to be there. Get stronger? Yeah, we've got the Word of God. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about a lot of these things in the next few weeks, but here's the root issue. You've got the Word of God. How can I keep my way pure? By taking heed thereto according to God's Word. Let's be people of the book. Lord, help us toward that. Give us the ambition, the drive, the passion, the purpose, the aim of getting stronger as we stand for you. Help those, Lord, here that need to take the helmet of salvation, the free gift of eternal life today. May they be saved today at this moment to be saved. May they repent of their sin and invite you to be their Savior, to trust you to save them from their sin. Having taken the helmet of salvation, may we now take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and let it poke and cut and prod us to strength. In Jesus' name.